Good morning. Today's daf in the Dharma is Nun Beis. Obviously, you can see a very short daf coming ahead, but the Ran's got a lot to say. There's one of the more significant critical Ran's of the Masechta coming up in today's daf, which we're gonna speak out a little bit later on. But in the meantime, however, we are here in the Mishnayos of the sixth Perek. Sixth Perek is short. Tomorrow we're going to be finishing the Perek. We'll open up on Sunday morning in Mirtz Hashem with the seventh Perek. Sixth parak is basically when you make a neder, hochanach alashem b'nei adam. So the parameters of the neder are going to be defined by how people normally speak. So when I say that this is going to be asa to me, so generally speaking, how this is understood, when, you know, plug in whatever example you want, so that is going to be setting the parameters of what is asr and what is not asr. So the Mishnayos have been giving us numerous examples. We've already commented a couple times, that these Mishnayos are good, circa, second century. Of the common era, meaning that what they're doing is that they are reflecting what was Lashon B'nei Adam back then. You know, fast forward now almost 2,000 years later, and so now, in other words, when making a neder, and obviously when making a neder, don't make a neder, meaning it's never recommended, but nowadays, in other words, the Lashon B'nei Adam is certainly subject to change over the course of time. But in the meantime, however, what we're learning here in the sixth parak is a snapshot of what Lashon B'nei Adam was back in the day. So that in of itself is interesting, in that the Mishnayos over here, when expressing this, is not really one of the few times we're going to say this. The Mishnayos are not current with the times in terms of this particular point of Lashon B'nei Adam. So in other words, it's current to whatever time it was. And we've already pointed out more than one occasion that Lashon B'nei Adam is not necessarily going to be governed by whatever the Torah's definitions are, right? Just in yesterday's daf, dog, doga, right? Big fish, little fish, meaning is such a distinction exist in the Torah? No, there's no such distinction in the Torah. Meaning dog and doga, sometimes the Torah uses the Balash and the Keva, sometimes Balash and Zachar. It doesn't make a distinction in terms of the size of the fish, but fish. And meanwhile, in current usage, I say current, I mean in the time of the Mishnah, in current usage of the term, so one meant big and the other one meant little. Okay, fine. So that's the basic points of these Mishnahs, and we're continuing. So here we are now, we're going to be starting on the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and I know, Dimin Chalav, so the person's done with milk, right? His lactose intolerant condition in life has basically sworn him off milk, no more milk. So I know the Menachal of Mutter becomes to what he's allowed to do.
What is it?
Oh, okay. Well, okay, good, good, good. So Mutter becomes to what he's allowed to do, he's allowed to eat kum. So kum is what we generally describe as Nesuva Dechalav. Basically whey, right? Whey, W-H-E-Y. So in other words, when separating milk, so you're taking the fatty part and the liquidy, the more liquidy, watery part of the milk is going to be separating, right? What's called whey. And presumably that's what the kum is a reference to. The Ran over here gets involved in a debate amongst the Rishonim exactly which part of the separation are we talking about. But meanwhile, for our purposes right now, we're basically going to call it the whey. So hanodim and achal mutar b'kum. So if you say that you're not going to be drinking milk, so whey would be acceptable. And Rabbi Yossi Oser, and Rabbi Yossi says no, that the word chalav is not only a description of milk, but it's also anything that comes off of milk as well. So in other words, if I were to separate the milk between the fatty and the liquidy part, so that is, according to Rabbi Yossi, the neder would include both. So menakum mutar b'chalav. Now, if I make a neder, then I'm not going to be eating whey. So then mutar b'chalav, you're allowed to drink milk, meaning no one is going to say that milk is subsumed in the neder of kum. Okay, good. Abishal Omer, Nader, Minagvina, Aser, Ba, Bein Malucha, Bein Tfela. According to Abishal, you make a neder that you're not going to have cheese anymore. You're done with cheese, and you make a neder that's going to be prohibited to you. So now it doesn't matter whether the cheese is salted or whether it's unsalted. Hanoder, Minavasar, if you make a neder that you're not going to be eating meat. So Mutzah Barotev, so you're allowed to eat the gravy. Now, mind you, by the way, I'm sure we all know, we all understand, that obviously, in other words, this has nothing to do with milchiks, fleishiks, meaning these are all nedarim, right? Let's keep in mind, just a quick reminder to everybody, that in other words, if you're eating the sauce of meat, the juice of meat, so you're fleishik, meaning that's part and parcel of the meat. So we are just describing nedarim over here because, again, when you're making a neder, like we've described already a number of times, you're basically creating an isser in the laboratory. meaning this is not the Torah prohibiting something. This is you creating a prohibition for yourself. And in terms of the dynamics of a neder can be tailor-made. In other words, you can literally, in the laboratory of making a neder, you can make a neder which is limited in terms of time, right? It's not going to be us forever. It'll be us only for a certain amount of time. You can attach it to a condition. And in terms of which aspect of the food is going to be usher, that also could be tailor-made. So in other words, right, I'm just highlighting these examples that we're learning together, right? You say you're not going to be eating milk, right? No more milk. And meanwhile, the part that comes off the milk, the whey that comes off the milk is going to be mutter. Like, how does that work? Because again, we're talking about a neder. We're not talking about the isser of milk. We're talking about a neder that you created. So the neder that you created is going to be very restrictive. It's going to be very limited. So over here with the meat, same thing with the meat, meaning vis-a-vis milchik fleishik, when you eat the gravy that comes off the meat, of course you're fleishik. But in other words, but when you're making a neder that you're not going to eat meat, so neders are now more limited. Okay.
How about the
river? We're coming there. That's a good part of today's daf. So if I make a neder against basar, so mutar berotif, so you're allowed to have the rotif. That's the sauce. Uvi kippa, and also you're allowed to have kippa as well. Kippah, never have a good word to describe kippah, but basically if I'm making a pot roast and you take the meat out, so that little schmutz on the bottom, right? Some of it's delicious. So that's the kippah. Okay? The small little cut of pieces of meat on the bottom. So in Rav Yehuda says no, that you're making a neder against basar, that's included. Meaning according to Rav Yehuda, the lashon b'nei adam of basar includes also the rotiv and also the kippah as well. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maisa v'aser alin Rabbi Tarfon bebeitzim shenis bashlimo. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I'm gonna prove it to you, because there was an episode where somebody made a neder that you're not allowed to eat meat, and meanwhile there was an egg that was in the cholent, taken out of the cholent, and they asked Rabbi Tarfon, can this person who currently right now is bound by a neder not to eat meat, can this person go ahead and eat the egg that came out of the cholent? And what was Rabbi Tarfon's answer? So Rabbi Tarfon said, Isser. So what does that show you? It shows you now that not only is the meat going to be Asr, but anything that has gained the taste of the meat is also going to be Asr as well. So Amr lo kena davar. So the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yehuda, look, your story is great, but meanwhile, it doesn't support your point at all. So, when you say baser zelai and you say that this piece of meat is going to be aser, so shanoder min adaver v'nisariv ba'acher im yesh b'manose in tam aser. So there, when I said when the lashon of the neder is baser zel, so that means that this meat, and that means now that when this meat now goes and is cooked in other foods, an infusion of taste from this meat goes into other foods, so now the other foods are going to be usher. So in other words, but that has nothing to do with our discussion over here. Meaning our discussion over here is that you made a general neder against meat. So in other words, the general neder against meat, what is incorporated in that neder? What's not incorporated in that neder? So what the Chachamim will say to Rabbi Yossi, I say Rabbi Yossi, I meant Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. So what the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda is that when you make a neder against basar, not against this piece of meat, but against basar, so what is typically included within the lashon b'nei adam of the word basar? And according to the Chachamim, the actual meat itself, meaning the sauce and the little bits on the bottom, that's not included in the lashon b'nei adam of what is basar. However, the contrast is our case over here, where I'm pointing to this particular piece of meat for whatever reason. This particular piece of meat now is going to be usher to me, and I'm pointing to this meat. So then if I have taste of that meat going into other foods, so those other foods are going to be usher. Why? Because it's this meat that's going to be usher, and therefore anything coming off of this piece of meat, meaning the tam coming off of it, is going to be usher as well. Hanoder minayin, we're continuing now in the Mishnah, so you make a neder against wine, and you say, that's it, no more wine for me, mota betavshi sheish botam yayin. So now, so you're allowed to eat foods that have wine taste in it. Because again, remember, this is neder now. This is not an objective isser in the Torah. And the question behind nedarim is what is included in your neder? What is subsumed? What is subsumed in the lashon b'nei adam? So when you say yain, you mean wine. That's what you mean. And what you don't mean is that something is infused with the taste of wine. That's not included in your neder. So muter b'tav shesheish botam yain. So amar konim yain zeshani toim. Now here's an easy one now, and that is that let's say I point to a particular bottle of wine. That wine now is going to be also to me via neder. Okay, now that I said that wine, now we all know what's the story, and the story is that im yesh bo menosin tamar is also. So now when I cook with that wine, and now that wine now is infused into other foods, that foods are going to be also. Why? Because I said yain zeh. Okay, good. That kind of takes us to the end of the Mishnah. So effectively now in the Mishnah, so basically we're looking at when I make a neder against milk, does it include the whey? When I make a neder against against basar, so does that include also the sauce and the little bits on the bottom? Good. So those types of discussions. Okay. Now, let's.
Tom.
Right, when you say the word zeh, right. So you mean this, and when including this is not only going to be the wine, but the taste coming off of it as well. Okay. So let's quickly now just summarize some of the most basic points over here in this round. Really, the round is making one point. It happens to be a large point. And this particular round, today's daf, Nedarim daf nun beis, this round is quoted often. Okay. What's bothering the round? The following. In fact, let's see the lashon inside. V'nisarav be'echad im yesh ba'benos in tam. Okay, in the run, where am I? Fourth line down from the top of the Amudim. Yesh b'mina oser k'deli tein tam b'shel heter k'gon. The lekeshishim b'shel heter areza oser v'kasha luhu l'rabusa. Okay, so the Chachmei Yisrael asked the following question. And that is, heichi amrin en hacha di im yesh b'benosin tam oser, demashma im ein b'benosin tam muter. So, what did we just learn together? If there is taste, significant taste going from the food, meaning I say baser zeh, I say yayin zeh. And now what happened is I took the meat or I took the wine and I cooked it in other foods. So if there was nesinas tam, if there was an infusion of taste, so under those circumstances, now the result is going to be, we have isser. Because the taste of something which is usser has now been infused into here. Good. That's what we just learned together. So now what the Ron is bothered by is the following. If there's no nesinas tam, if the taste is negligible, and we all know, meaning how much, what's the ratio that we're looking at in order for the taste to be negligible? Anything greater than 1/60th, all right, 1/60. So meaning if the ratio between wine and other foods, where it's one part wine, 60 parts other foods, 60 or any number greater than 60 of other food, so then we say that the taste is going to be negated. That's bitul hatam. Okay. Just in case you're a little bit confused, in other words, when do we say rov? When do we say that you need a majority for bitul? When taste is non-issue. So in other words, if we have, let's say, for example, three hot dogs, two of them are kosher, and one of them are not kosher, and I cannot discriminate, I can't tell the difference between one and the other. They look the same, they taste the same. So the of course, discrimination comes in terms of how much they cost. I know. But in other words, they look the same, taste the same, and they get mixed up together. So now, right, one non-kosher hot dog, two kosher hot dogs. So what do we say? Bittul. We say that there's nullification, right? You can eat the hot dogs, right? It's crazy, right? People will look at that. Are you out of your mind? One of those three is not kosher, and you can eat them. Now there is a discussion in terms of whether one person can eat all three, and okay, there is what to discuss over there. But in other words, I'm just right now addressing when do I need rov, when do I need shishim. So when do I need rov? Like the example of the hot dogs. That's an example where all you need is rov. In other words, because taste is not a factor. Once taste becomes part of the equation, the taste of one food is infused into the other. So what do we say under those circumstances? We say you have to negate taste. Why? Because we have a principle throughout Shas of what's called ta'am ke'ikr, that the taste of the food is like the food itself. So that means that if I have a neder where I can't drink wine, and again, I'm saying yain zed, this wine, so then not only is that wine going to be usher, but any taste coming off that wine is going to be usher as well, based on the principle of ta'am ke'ikr. So now when taste becomes a factor, so what do you have to do? You have to negate taste. How do you negate taste? It's very simple. Until you add enough of other foods where I can no longer taste the wine, so now it's going to be negated. So why do we always say 60 to 1? Because the Chachamim were Mishayer. So the Chachamim went and did a number of tests and empirically found out when exactly is the taste going to be negated. Now, just one other point before we get to the Ran, and that is that there are going to be foods that are going to be obviously more potent and stronger and sharper and are not going to be negated in a ratio of 60 to 1. And the Chachamim recognize that as well. Good. And they're right. So when we say tavlin, when we say spices, afilu b'me'a lo bato. Afilu b'elef, sorry. Afilu b'elef lo bato. Even if it's against 1,000, it's not going to be bato. Because obviously pepper, as a simple example, pepper is really sharp. And therefore, it's there's not going to be bitter when it comes to when it comes to something like pepper. Okay. Anyway, so what are we about to do? We're going to be asking a bomb question from the Ran, and that is that when I have ta'am, so the wine and the food that's cooked with the wine is going to be aser, but when there's no ta'am, so then it's going to be mutter. Good. So if I add just a couple of drops of the wine into the food, and the food is much more than 60 times the amount of wine that went in, so then it's going to be mutter. That's what we just learned together. Ask the Ran the following question. V'kashalu l'rabusa. So this is now the fourth line of the Ran. Hey, chamrina nahacha. De'im yesh babanos in tam asu damash vaha im babanos in tam mutter. Vaha nadarim davashesh al matir nahu. Gidamrina lakam en beperka no dimin a yerek. Mishum demitra leishu ala ala med the rabbi nasan. V'kaim alan dechol sheish al matirin. So the Ran says, look, we have the following principle. The Gemara is in Beitza, the Gemara is a couple of other places as well. Principally, the main Gemara is in Beitza, the beginning of that first perek, and that is that, Davar Sheish L'Matirin, when I have an item that is going to become mutter, so, right, the Rashi Lashon over there in the Gemara in Beitza, is Ad She'ochlenu Be'isa Tochlenu Be'heter. I got this great idea. If something is going to become mutter, don't rely on Bittul. But rather, let's wait until it becomes mutter, and then let's eat the whole thing. Let's eat all of it. And let's eat all of it beheter and not have to rely on bittul. This is the principle of davar sheish l'matirin. And afilu be'elef lo batol, and when I have something that's going to become mutter, and it's mixed in with others, even 1,000 others, so then there's not going to be bittul.
So how is the wine going to become eventually permitted?
So the way the Ran says this is because when it comes to a neder, so you're going to be asking a chacham. Not only are you going to be asking a chacham, you should be asking a chacham. Meaning the way he cites it, it's a gemara coming up, and that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go and ask a chacham to get yourself out of a neder. Remember, our general hashkafas with nedarim is that you shouldn't have made the neder to begin with, and now that you're here, you should extricate yourself from the neder.
But you could argue saying that the matter of eggs, okay. The heter is imminent. You don't have to do anything. There's no active
regret. Right, correct. It's
a matter of time. It's going to be happening. Whereas this, you actually have to actively
perfect,
do something.
Perfect.
So
okay.
It's not the same thing to compare and say the restaurant.
Good.
No?
Okay, so I just want to clarify and amplify Ben's point over here. What Ben's saying is that the classic case of Davar Sheish L'Matirin is where I have an egg which is laid on Yontif, and the egg laid on Yontif is going to be Aser, right? That's called Nolad, right? It's the beginning of Beitza. And then what happens is that when that egg on Yontif now gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, so what do we say now? Those 1,000 eggs are mutter. We should have a tarovis, and it's the ratio is 1 to 1,000. Everything should be mutter, right? And it's not. Meaning, wait till after Yontif, because what's going to happen after Yontif automatically is that the nolad egg is going to become mutter. Good. And so therefore, this is the prototypical example of a davar sheish l'matirin. And by davar sheish l'matirin, don't eat it right now relying on bittul, wait till afterwards. And what Ben's pointing out is, you don't have to do a thing. All you have to do is just simply wait until after Yontif is over, and you're good. And over here, it's not exactly a perfect comparison. Over here, in order for you to change and convert this or to heter, you have to go to a chacham, he's got to find a Pesach, he may not find a Pesach, it's not as automatic as the case of Beitza. Okay? And his point is very well taken. And the Ran knows this, meaning he understands that they're not exactly comparable, but he makes a comparison. So within the Ran, I'm just presenting the Ran, he makes a comparison, but your point is excellent.
But even if they're not here, can you eat whatever from before, or only from now on?
No, in other words, once it becomes mutter, so then everything's...
You're saying it's retroactively going to be mutter?
I do understand. I'm not sure if it's a significant, if that's going to be a significant factor. Anyway, let me just first let's stick with the run over here, in just in terms of the way he presents it. So it's a wonderful question that when you have something like this, which is a davar sheish lamatir nafil be'alaf lo batel, and meanwhile, what do we learn in our Mishnah? Bittul will occur. There is going to be bittul. In other words, if there's Nesinas Tam, so then it's not Batal. But what, once there's no longer Nesinas Tam, the ratio is such where it no longer gives off taste, so then the mixture is going to be Batal. And why? It's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin. Okay, so that's his question. And he gives the following as an answer. So I'm going to skip a little bit. V'yesh Lamar. So Anun Beis Amad Aleph, now we are about 10 lines down in the run. So he says that when do we say that davar sheish lamatir nafil be'alaf lo batel? That's when the mixture is like items. So what the Ran says is the following, that when do we say that davar sheish lamatir and there's never going to be bitol? That's when the mixture is min bimino. The two items are like each other. It just happens to be that one has a halachic status of being usser, but they're like each other. But over here, we're talking about wine getting cooked in with other foods, and the other foods are min b'she'ino mino. And even if it's a davar sheish lamatir and by min b'she'ino mino, so there's going to be bitol. So in other words, what the Ran is doing is making a very simple chiluk between two different types of mixtures. A min b'mino mixture versus a min b'sheino mino mixture. A min b'mino mixture, so then afil be'alaf lo bato. There's not going to be bito by davar sheish lamatirin. But min b'sheino mino, so there's going to be bito. Now, why? Good, there's a distinction. Why make such a distinction? Why is that an important and significant distinction? So over here, I'm going to now paraphrase, meaning there's obviously a lot more to read in the Ran. We're not going to be reading it inside, but I will paraphrase what the Ran says. I strongly encourage that you see it inside. Basically, it goes like this. Okay, we generally speaking have the following debate: when we have a mixture of min b'mino, so is there bittul? Yes or no? It's a machlokas tanaim, right? The Chachamim say that when I have a min b'mino tarovis, it's going to be bittul. And Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shah says, "Not mimimino, there's never going to be bittul." Okay, interesting. Just as an aside, by the way, Rashi does passing like Rabbi Yehuda, which in of itself is fascinating. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that any mixture is as long as I have more heter than I have isser, so then there's going to be bittul. Okay, so when I have a min bimino, so we have a machlokas between the tanaim, between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. What is that machlokas predicated on? The following: the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to do the following avoda. And that is, he's going to be shechting a bull, he's going to be shechting a goat, he's going to be taking the blood, going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's going to be sprinkling the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, otherwise known as the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Okay, we're all familiar. So what happens in that Avodah is that they're going to be sprinkled separately, and then what the Torah says to do to the Kohen Gadol is to take the two bloods and mix them together, and then sprinkle them as a mixture. Now, when you mix them together, so how much blood of the bull is there going to be? The answer is a lot. Okay. I know I didn't give you an empirical, a quantifiable answer, but you understand the bull's a large animal. There's going to be a lot of blood. How much blood of the goat are we talking about? Not as much. Okay. And when I mix them together, so I have two bloods now that are mixed together. What kind of mixture are we talking about? Obviously, it's min bimino. It's blood and blood. So that's min bimino, and what does the Torah say? The Torah says that this is going to be viewed as a combination of two different bloods. Why don't we say, this is now Rev Yehuda's presentation, why don't we say that the blood of the bull is going to be overpowering and just simply negating the blood of the goat? In other words, there's a lot more bull blood than there is goat blood. So why don't we say that there's going to be bittul? The answer is because it's min bimino. Meaning that what creates bittul? What creates bittul is a contrast. When I have two contrasting forces, two contrasting items, so then there's going to be bittul. But if the items are the same item, so then there's not going to be bittul. Getting Rav Yehuda to the point of min bimino is eino bittul. That's Rav Yehuda. Good. The Ran says, now here, how do you understand the Chachamim? Meaning the Chachamim disagree. Okay. How did you understand the Chachamim disagreeing? So typically, what is the classic presentation is that the Chachamim will tell you, look, over there there's no bittul, but elsewhere, everywhere else, there is going to be bittul. Meaning, for reasons which, right now, I don't know if I can fully articulate why, but in other words, there's no bittul. I'm sorry, right, there in the case of the blood, there's no bittul, but elsewhere, there's going to be bittul. The Ran says, I'd like to clarify the Chachamim's viewpoint. And this is where, this is the key, the yesod of the entire Ran. The Chachamim don't argue with Rav Yehuda. They agree with Rav Yehuda that when I have bloods getting mixed together, bull blood and goat blood, and there's no way to differentiate between the two, and they're mixed together, and I know the volume of the bull is greater than the volume of the goat, but still, in other words, there's no contrast. And if there's no contrast, there's not going to be bittul. No. But when I have a mixture of two items, even though the items of the food or whatever is being mixed together are the same, if one is usser and the other is mutter, so you know what that's called? That's called a contrast. Huh. That's called a contrast. It's a halachic contrast, but that's called a contrast. As such, when I have contrast, so then there's going to be bittul. So what the Chachamim are arguing to Rav Yehuda is that your case is beautiful, but it's extraordinarily limited. Because in the case of the bloods, it's heter and heter, and they're the same. It's both blood. So there's no contrast, there's not going to be bittul. But when I have a mixture of iser and heter getting mixed together, so now the halachic contrast, one being us and the other one being mutter, is now enough of a contrast where there's going to be bittul, even if the items are min bimino. The items are min bimino, but the mixture is not min bimino because one's mutter and one's aser. Now, wait, just wait one second. Hold on one second. Let's now move to the next point. Now, the Ran says, and now we get to Davar Sheish L'Matirin. It's beautiful. It really is. In other words, when you absorb and you really think about this idea, you get to Davar Sheish L'Matirin. What happens by Davar Sheish L'Matirin? Currently, right now, the item is Usser. But if we wait a little bit, it's going to become Mutter. What does that now do? It removes the contrast. Meaning this egg right now, which is laid on Yontif, is now Usser, but only temporarily. Meaning all we have to do is just forecast till the end of Yontif, and Yontif will come to an end, and now it's going to become Mutter. So now I have this egg getting mixed in with all these other eggs. 1,000 other eggs. So now, you know what the Chachamim now say to Rav Yehuda? We see your point over here. Meaning now that the egg is going to become Mutter, so now even though currently it's Usser, but in the very near future, it's going to be mutter. So what have we lost now? We lost the contrast. They're no longer, one is no longer contrasting the other, because this is not aser, it's temporarily aser.
It's halachic status is transient.
Right. It's a transient state right now of being aser, and as such, when I have this mixture, so afilu be'alaf labatol, now there's not going to be bittol, because now it is comparable to what Rav Yehuda was describing when it comes to the bloods of Yom Kippur. Okay.
Good. I don't understand why you're saying the blood is heter. Isn't the blood usser?
Nothing to do with it.
No. We're talking about the bloods of Yom Kippur.
I understand, but nothing. The blood itself is usser.
In other words, we're not talking about consumption. We're talking about its usage as part of the avoda. Okay. Okay, good. All right, so that is the Ran's understanding of Davar Sheish L'Matirin. And now, okay, and now we're here, meaning, if you've understood every step until this point in time, now we're here. Now the Ran says that if I have a mixture of min b'she'ino mino, even if it's davar sheish l'matirin, what are we looking at over here? If it's min b'she'ino mino, we're looking at contrast. Right. In other words, I have wine and I have other foods, not wine. So over here, the wine's going to become mutter. It's not going to become mutter. Doesn't matter. Meaning, once I have wine and other foods, it's a min b'she'ino mino. We have contrast. What does contrast tell us? Bittul. There's going to be bittul. Good. Good. Okay. That is the Ran of today's daf on the Amud Aleph. Davar Sheish L'Matirin is really going to be a function of contrast. Okay. That's a summary. The summary in of itself is not going to help you, meaning you got to go back and just review the last 10 minutes in order to understand how Davar Sheish L'Matirin works according to the Ran. But that's the Davar Sheish L'Matirin. And mind you, by the way, in other words, and this is where we're going to move on in the Gemara, right? We're done with this point for now, and we're almost done with the daf. This is in contrast to Rashi that in the Gemara and Beitza, which I already quoted earlier this morning. I mean, Rashi and Beitza says that what's Davar Sheish L'Matirin? Wait, Meaning, don't rely on bittul right now. Let's wait until after Yontif is over, because atcha tochanu be'etzer tochanu be'etzer. So that's different than what the Ran is saying over here, that davar sheyesh matirin is really all a function of contrast. Okay, perfect. We continue. We're now in the Gemara Nun Beis Amud Beis and the rest of today's daf. So the Gemara says, okay, meaning what do we note in our Mishnah? So in our Mishnah, we noted that if I make a neder against a food, the derivative that comes off the food is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, consider the following. So mina adashim, a person, a person makes a neder against adashim, right? Lentils. So aser ba'ashishim. Ashishim are basically honey roasted lentils. And Rav Yossi matir. So and Rav Yossi says that it's mutter. So that means that according to Rav Yossi, so the ashishim do not have the same status as adashim. So lokasha marki asre. So the Gemara says, okay. In other words, it's not going to be a stira because everyone's basing themselves on lashon mene adam as specific to their locale. So shabasra the rabban karbu lechava chava lekuma lekuma and basra the Rav Yossi lekuma nami kari lekuma dechava. Okay. In other words, again, everything is going to be governed by lashon mene adam. So in the locale of Rav Yossi, so when they describe whey. Whey is also described as being milk. Milk is also being described as being whey. Okay? So this is all just a function of what is considered Lashon B'nei Adam. So Tanya, which of course means, by the way, that these aren't satisfying explanations. They don't have to be satisfying explanations. Meaning whatever is the understood language in the place where you live. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, no de mina chalav, mutter b'ko, mina ko, mutter b'chalav. So, either the Braisa tells us that you make a neder for that you're not eating chalav, so you're allowed to eat whey. If I make a neder that I'm not eating whey, I'm allowed to eat chalav. So min ha chalav mutar begvina, min ha gvina mutar bechalav. And the Braisa goes on to say that if I make my neder against milk, I'm allowed to eat cheese. If I make my neder against cheese, I'm allowed to eat milk. So min ha rotev mutar bekipa, min ha kipa mutar berotev. If I say that I'm not going to be eating the rotev, I'm allowed to eat the kipa. Again, kipa is those small bits of meat on the bottom of the pot. And conversely, if my neder is against the kipa, I'm allowed to eat the rotev. Im amar baser ze alai aser bo uve rodvo uve kipo. If I say baser ze, so once again, now I'm not saying meat in general. I'm saying this particular piece of meat. So once I say this piece of meat, so then that includes this piece of meat and also its sauce and the little bits as well. Hanoder min ayayin, a person makes a neder from wine mutter betav shel sheish bo tam yayin. So once again, I'm making a general neder against wine, but again, if I have something that has the infused taste of wine, that's fine. Amar koneim yayin ze sheni toim v'nafal tocha tafshol im yesh bo benosin tam. Im yesh bo tam yayin harei ze aser. And again, it's the same point that we learned in the Mishnah. Once I say yayin ze, so now it's this wine, and if taste of this wine now goes into other foods, and there's enough that where I'm tasting the wine, so then it's going to be aser. Okay, good.
If you can't taste it, it's the same as if you go by bittul and there's no taste, right?
If you, in other words, over here, if you can't taste it,
okay, would a nazir be able to drink it?
Right. So the nazir, it's a little bit unfair because when the nazir neder, it's like saying yain ze. In other words, it's because it's going on all. It's not going on wine as a general, but in other words, it's going on all grape products. Okay, it's a little bit different. Okay, and yes, Phil. By the way, to your point, in other words, everything we just saw in the Gemara, we saw in the Bright in the Mishnah. You're right. In the Gemara is just simply quoting a Braisa that basically is amplifying what the Mishnah is telling us. Okay. Mina anavim mutar b'yayin. I'm sorry. Hanodim anavim mutar b'yayin. Here we are. Nun beis amud beis. We're at the second Mishnah. First Mishnah of the page. Second Mishnah of today. And that is that I make a neder not to eat grapes. So now grapes, again, this is not nazir talk now. This is a tailor-made, laboratory-made neder. As such, so now we can differentiate. You made your neder against grapes. You're allowed to have wine. So min hazeisim mutar b'shemen. If I make a neder that I'm not having olives, you're allowed to have olive oil. So the amar konim zeisim v'anavim elu she'eni toim. So asa mehem v'yotze mehem. However, once I say these grapes, once I say these olives, So then, any derivatives of these grapes and olives are going to be elsewhere. Okay, you keep hammering the same point today, it's going to seep in. I'm talking to me. By Rami Chama. So, Elu Dafka, Eini Tom B'Dafka. So, over here, when you say, Zaysim V'Anavim Elu, She'eini Toim, which means now that it's these olives and these grapes. What exactly was the critical word that got us to these? So if you look at the Mishnah, so there are two suspects. Either it's the word Elu, or it's Eini Toim. Which of those becomes critical? So, Isa Gadach Elu Dafka Eini Toim Lamali. So, HaKamash Malan Dafka Gav Damra Eini Toim I Damra Elu Mitzar I Lolo. So the Gemara says, okay, so then why would the Mishnah have the words Eini Toim or Eini Toim? Meaning if Elu is critical, so then why does the Mishnah have Eini Toim? So the Gemara says, because Eini Toim is there to, the language in the Mishnah is there to tell me that even though, despite the fact that I use the words Eini Toim, I have to say the words Elu, otherwise it's not on these. Amar Rava Tashma, so again, what we're looking for is which is telling us that it's a neder against these particular grapes. So the Gemara says that we have a brisa. It's not a brisa, by the way, it's a Mishnah coming up later in the next parak. Konim Parasai, Elu Alai, Konim Hain, Lefi. So Asar Bechilufeim, Ubegiduleim, Ha, Beyotse Mehen, Mutter. So over here I said the word Elu. And Elu gets me to what? That in exchange for them is going to be Asar. The growth of them is going to be Asar. But in other words, but it's not anything extracted from them is going to be Mutter. Right? That the Gemara says, no, that's not right. That's not right. Who adenda filu be yotze mehem asr? Gemara says, no. In other words, I know the Mishnah did not say hayotze mehen. I know the Mishnah didn't say that. But it's included. Vahadifa le'lash me'inan. De'chilufeim kigidu le'im dami. The Mishnah over there just wanted to tell us a bigger chiddush, which is chilufeim. That when I say elu, so not only are these going to be asr, but exchange it for these are also going to be asr as well. That was the whole point of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah wasn't there as a referendum on what about hayotze mehem. Tashma, eini ochel v'sheini toim, mutter b'chilufeim v'gidulayem, hayotze mehem asr. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going back to that Mishnah on Nun Zion. Again, it's a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta. And that Mishnah tells me that if I say eini ochel, eini toim, and I don't say the word elu, so I'm allowed to eat exchanges and I'm allowed to eat the growth that comes off of it. So hayotze mehem asr, but anything coming off of it is going to be asr. So the Gemara says, no, I did the lo nasev breishi yotze mehem, lo nasev nami b'sefer yotze mehem. Again, leave that Mishnah out of our discussion. That Mishnah over there was just describing and discussing chilufeihem gidulehem, exchanges and growths. The Mishnah over there was just simply not talking about that which comes out of it. Okay, so that Mishnah is not part of our discussion. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, consider the following. This is the Mishnah that we did that we did earlier. I'm Rav Yehuda Maisa, also Rabbi Tarfon Alai Beitzim Shenisbash Limo. Right, the person said that I'm not going to be eating this meat, and Rabbi Yehuda said, you see what happened? They went to Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon said that the egg was made in the same chulin with this meat, and that egg is going to be usher. So Amar Lo Emasai Bisman Shamar Baser Ze Alai. And they said to Rabbi Yehuda, good, allow us please to explain. You said the word baser zeh, so once you say the word baser zeh, so that now is not just ostering the meat, but any flavor taste coming off that meat. The egg is cooked in the same pot with that meat, the egg is going to be oser. Okay, good. So no dimina davar. Nisari bech aviyesh bo beno sentam hariz oser, good. So be'ela lo kami bailan, de dafkahu. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara finally clarifies. If I say the word Elu, leis man depalik. No one's going to argue. When I say the word Elu, it obviously is a reference to this item, and any derivative coming off that item, anything that it produces is going to be asr as well. The taste comes off of an item that I asred via the word Elu, so yotseim are going to be asr as well. The Gemara says, I knew that. Even though I know for the last couple of minutes we didn't know that, but the Gemara says, now we know that. So ki kami bailan b'eini b'she'eini toim dafka o lav dafka. The Gemara says, but what if I just use the words eini toim? Is that going to get me to the point of iser? So the Gemara says, okay. So tashma Dag dagim sheni toim, asa behem, ben gedolim, ben katarnim, ben chayim, ben mevushalim, umutter, betaris trufa. So, ubitzir. So what do we have over here? That I use the words fish, and I use the words sheini toim. I'm not going to eat them. And meanwhile, what did we just learn? That the sauce that came off of it, the sauce, the juice that came out of it, right? The brine that came off of it is going to be mutter. So Amar Rava, Shkvar Yatzamehem. So Rava says, I don't know. No, that's not necessarily a proof. Maybe it's the brine that came out before you made the neder. Ah, so before you made the neder, the brine came off of it. So then when you ossered these fish, Eini Toim, so it didn't include the brine, only because the brine already was siphoned off. It was already removed. Okay. So maybe that's the case over there, but Ein Achinami. But any brine that comes off of it from this point going forward is going to be ossur. All right, let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. The first part of today's daf dealt with basically what happens when I make a neder against an item, against the items in general versus this particular item. Items in general, so then my neder is only specific to those items in general. So that means to say that if I make a neder against, let's say, for example, grapes, so I can't eat grapes, but I'm allowed to drink wine. And again, not to get confused, meaning by the nazir, Nazir can't eat grapes, can't drink wine, but because Nazir, the Torah gives very clear definitions of what that neder is. He can't tailor make the neder. Here, by Nedarim, again, you can tailor make your neder. So when your neder is that I'm not going to be eating grapes, so then wine would be fine. Same thing with olives. Olive oil would be fine. Ah, but if I made a neder that I'm not eating these grapes, so now that means to say that these grapes are going to be asur. And derivatives of those grapes are going to be asur as well. And it's not just grapes, it's olives, it's meat, it's anything where the taste of that item comes off. So it's going to be asur. Good. Most of today's daf, so we try to wrap our heads around the Ran. The Ran in today's daf says, isn't Nedarim an example of a davar sheyesh lo matirin? Ben articulated earlier this morning that it's not exactly the same as davar sheyesh lo matirin, where it happens automatically. Here it's not super automatic, but the Ran believes this is an example of davar sheyesh lo matirin. And what do we say? That there's no bittul by davar sheyesh lo matirin. And we learned in today's daf that as long as the taste of the item that's asur is going to be mivutal, as long as you can't taste the item anymore, subject to bittul. And why? Why is it subject to bittul? Why don't we say davar sheyesh lo matirin? So the Ran over here in today's daf, Nedarim daf nun beis, so he gives his thesis in terms of why it is that this is not going to fall under the category of davar sheyesh lo matirin, to say it succinctly, because over here, what do we have? We have contrast. The reason why davar sheyesh lo matirin is never going to be batal is because there's no contrast. But over here, by min b'sheino mino, so we have contrast, and therefore there's going to be bittul, even by davar sheyesh lo matirin. That's the Ran in a sentence, but it needs more than a sentence. But in terms of a summary, that's the Ran. Then what we did for the rest of today's daf is basically give other examples and illustrations of this point. That when I'm making a neder, so it doesn't necessarily include derivatives of that item. I make a neder against milk, the whey is fine. I make a neder against white, the whey the milk is fine. And other examples just like that as well. Adkan.